Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, and about the gospel of the kingdom, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling or habitation of God in the Spirit. In the time that we're in right now, we are not from the left. And actually, we're not from the right. We're from the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we need to identify. It's how we need to think about things, which means we should never listen to offense. We should always be listening to the truth God is trying to impart, regardless of who's even talking. Many, many, many times I have seen people who are listening to nothing but offense all the time. And it's so easy to get into that cycle where all you hear is offense. Even though somebody may not have said that, you hear offense. And it drives you down a hole where you are having a hard time getting out of. Don't listen to offense. As people say things to try to mock you or mock the church or write articles that are totally false and then are later completely disproven, don't get stuck in listening and hearing offense. A lot of these people are actually just crying out from the depths of their heart because they need Jesus Christ. They know they need him. They know that the gospel of the kingdom is true, and so then they resist and they come against it. Now this weekend, June 11th, over in Coeur d'Alene, we're going to be standing with parents that are fighting for the future of their children against the perversion, part of the alphabet agenda, that has invaded the libraries over there, but it's also invaded schools. It's trying to invade every part of our culture. And very simply, I don't believe men should compete in women's sports, that God made them man and woman, that genetically, in 99.99% of the cases, the presence or absence of a Y chromosome determines gender. It is a biological fact. It cannot be changed by a leftist marketing campaign, by a communist marketing campaign. It cannot. It's reality. It's truth. And the existence of truth proves the existence of God. And so as the Satanists are now going to show up over in Coeur d'Alene this weekend, I'm calling on every Christian that listens to this show, please come to Coeur d'Alene this weekend, 10 o'clock. It's going to be in downtown Coeur d'Alene. We'll make sure to put more out later this week on the specific locations. But join us as we stand against the rise that is being attempted by evil. And it is just an attempted rise. The Satanic Temple is supposed to be there, and they have put out some intentionally blasphemous and shocking things, kind of like a bad B-movie. But we are supposed to show up as Christians. We are supposed to pray for our brothers and sisters. We're supposed to stand with them in adversity. And we're supposed to pray for those unbelievers as well. Because they're clearly hurting. They're clearly lost. And God loves them just as much as he loves you and I. But the hate that they're spewing, we don't need to stand for that. We don't need to stand for the hate of truth. We don't need to stand for the hate of our children, the attempted perversion of our children. We don't need to stand for any of that. We need to stand for truth, but we can still love those people. But right now, this is clearly an attempt to come into the backyard of Christians. And we need to show up this weekend, June 11th. So I'm calling on everyone. Maybe you have to reschedule some things. Please show up there in downtown Coeur d'Alene. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, there is a lot. I'm going to start first with open source intelligence. I want to talk very quickly about this. Russia, once again, has said that they are going to hit NATO shipments of weapons to Ukraine. Putin, to Russian media, said, "We will strike at those targets, which we have not yet been hitting." In addition to that, former President Medvedev, who is, and I know Medvedev, he's just a Putin lackey, I got that, but he warned that Russia could target Western cities if Ukraine uses rocket systems provided by the West to strike Russian territory. So in other words, if there's any accident, thank you very much, Travis. That was really nice. Everybody just see that online. Travis is awesome. What this is saying is that rocket systems provided by the West could accidentally strike Western or strike Russian territory, giving Russia the excuse to then strike the West. Now, just today, in retaliation, the United States gave Putin's, Medvedev's son 48 hours to leave the U.S. where he has been residing. So Medvedev's son has been residing here, and he's been given 48 hours to get out. Also, it came out today, the U.S. Secretary of State, Blinken, said that Russia is capturing Ukraine grain stores for its own profit. So in other words, they're raiding the Ukrainian grain stores so that their country doesn't starve when these food shortages become more intense here coming up. And here is the other thing that happened, and these are two strategic events I want to talk about inside Ukraine. Farmers in southern and eastern Ukraine are occasionally hitting landmines and fields as they attempt to work. There's been four cases of those tractors being destroyed. It's irrelevant who put them there. The fact of the matter is what this is talking about is that Ukraine is not going to have the grain output that it possibly could have, which is going to impact other countries. Now, in addition to that, per several reports out of China, farmers are not allowed to harvest their wheat without a negative COVID test that has been taken within the most recent 48 hours. So you have a situation where grain stores are being either destroyed or hampered. A major Ukrainian grain export terminal in Mykolaiv appears to have been hit by a missile fire and burned to the ground. So another grain store in Ukraine. So again, this is all pointing toward food shortages in particular countries. Now, primarily this affecting Africa. But I found this very, very interesting that today, according to open source intelligence, there is an ongoing disruption to internet connectivity in multiple nations, including parts of Africa, Asia, and Australia. And the disruption is being blamed to an undersea cable. So this brings us next to China. And then I'm going to go to Iran because that looks like the next thing that's going to happen. China very clearly has a proxy in North Korea, and the report from open source intelligence is that North Korea appears to have completed preparations for a nuclear test and that the test could come at any time. So expect a nuclear test in North Korea any day now, and also expect that China is going to continue to ramp up military maneuvers right off the coast of Taiwan. And I'm going to get to one of those that was very interesting that came up today regarding Australia. So the timeline again looks like Israel and Iran first, but China is ramping up again with a timeline for September, October. Still looking like that's what they're planning toward. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it looks like what they're planning toward. Australia says China threatened a plane over the South China Sea. Australia said a Chinese fighter jet carried out dangerous maneuvers, threatening the safety of one of its maritime surveillance planes over the South China Sea. Now, what the threatening maneuver was, apparently, is that a Chinese aircraft pulled in front of this Australian aircraft and then let off flares and got very, very close. So this obviously is intentional because these guys are not going to do anything unless they have the permission of everybody above them. That's the way it works in a communist system like that. So clearly China trying to ramp up provocations there in the South China Sea. Now, Taiwan is an independent country. Now, whether the United States recognizes that or not, the Taiwanese see themselves that way, and they have been that way since the end of World War II, essentially, that time frame. So the provocation here of an independent country, nobody's going to really justify, I don't think, China trying to come into people who want to be free. Similarly, regardless of what you think of Russia, regardless of what you think of the New World Order, Ukraine is a sovereign country, and Russia invading Ukraine is wrong. Period. And the Ukrainian people, just like the Taiwanese people, have an absolute right of self-defense to remain free. Now, talking to some of the Taiwanese journalists that were there in Ukraine when we were over there, they very much understand the threat that China poses. And in fact, the folks that had to flee Hong Kong, some of them who had just unbelievable stories about trying to rescue some Christians under fire, literally under gunfire, they know what China's up to, and they are going to fight to stay free. And they were indicating to me that that's the sentiment of most of Taiwan. Now, timelines are timelines. Remains to be seen what happens. But clearly this would not have happened under the Trump administration, because China and Russia would have taken the United States seriously at that time. Which brings us now to Israel and Iran. Coming to us from Debka Files, Syria reports Israeli air raid southeast of Damascus. Israeli airstrikes on Monday night caused damage in a suburb of the Damascus, or right near the Damascus International Airport. It's reportedly been the site in the past of Iranian military bases. This comes on the heels of an Iranian scientist being assassinated by motorcycles, and then a very strange incident where essentially another Iranian scientist was thrown off of a house. And it appears, based on kind of the inside information there of what happened, that they believed it was that scientist who actually was a spy for another country, and this was retribution for the death of that colonel. And so, I don't know. It just seems like everybody's a scientist and a colonel in Iran. I don't know. Whatever the titles are, the bottom line is that something very clear is happening over there. And this then was right in the midst of it was the suicide drone attack on the Parchin nuclear facility, where they test very secretive and very sensitive nuclear components. So not only do many analysts believe that Iran is close to having the bomb, I mean, clearly some intelligence agencies are taking that threat very seriously and they're acting on it. Now, the intrigue of who killed who in retribution, the fact are you have two high-ranking Iranians dead, you have a suicide drone attack, now you have Israel attacking Iranian military bases in a suburb of Damascus. So again, things ramping up there very, very quickly. Also very interesting, this coming to us from LifeSite News, Iran rolls out digital bread rationing with biometric IDs. So the new digital rations for subsidized food were announced following a spike in the global cost of wheat. So clearly the Iranians are preparing for something. And Iran has announced it will be rolling out these digital coupons to ration bread to its citizens as it cuts back bread subsidies, which the government president or the country's president says are being wasted. So they're tightening their belts in Iran on the food side. So they believe something's coming. So in other words, they're preparing right now for wheat rationing, which probably means they're getting ready for war. The things you do in preparation for war. I'm going to go ahead and make sure these two things are posted up online as well. Now, jumping back up to Ukraine. Russia's combat losses in Ukraine coming to us from Euromaidan Press. Again, the most accurate that I've seen so far that's been borne out over time as people have been able to do in-depth analysis. Euromaidan Press has really done a great job with this. I want to just quickly go through the numbers of the battle damage assessment right now and underscore yet again that Russia could be getting very desperate. They had to strategically redeploy forces from Syria and from South Ossetia, which you do not do if you are winning. But these numbers really tell the tale. Over 31,000 dead, 118%, in other words, more than the number that were actually deployed for the operation, of armored personnel carriers have been destroyed. 25%, one quarter of the entire Russian military's armored personnel carriers have been destroyed. Tanks, 42% of the total Russian armor in their military have been destroyed. 116% of what was actually deployed for the operation. Almost 20% of their entire military's helicopter fleet. Over 15% of their fighter aircraft. So this, and now their Navy, according to multiple sources, but we'll just list Euromaidan Press for this. Multiple sources, their Navy is now backed off 100 kilometers from the Ukrainian coastline because of the defense the Ukrainians are putting up on their coastline. So the main battles to pay attention to around Kharkiv, Mykolaiv, and then also in Donbass, where the Russians had a huge offensive, well, then it was stalled, and then they actually lost ground, and there's fighting still raging in the major city there in Donbass. So this looks like it's going to be drawn out for a while. And again, the Biden administration appears to be doing everything it possibly can to try to drag the United States into a war with Russia. But everybody thinks that when I give kind of the objective facts here that, you know, somehow you're taking a side or something like that. Here's what I know. The Ukrainian people have the right of self-defense. The Russians would not have done this if Trump was in office. It's very clear that the globalists on the Western side are trying to get us involved in a broader World War III, and that Putin is already accounting for that. And was accounting for that when this started. So this is all clear. And it's also clear that Putin believes in globalism. He was friends with Klaus Schwab up into the war. It's also clear Putin believes that he is the defender of the Eastern Roman Empire. And that as part of that, there can be only one prince of the Slavs. Now you got to understand the history here. And I'm going to go through it very quickly so we all understand this. Some of you missed this on a previous show that I talked about it. When the Roman Empire broke up, it broke up into East and West, and it was actually prophesied in several works. One of those is 2 Esdras, which was included in the 1611 King James Apocrypha. You can go look it up there. But when the Roman Empire split, there was also the prophecy of what's called the Dragon Nations of Arabia arising. So this is 430 years before the rise of Islam. Is predicted in a Christian work. When the Roman Empire split, the Western Roman Empire survived eventually as the Holy Roman Empire and eventually into Germany and the line of the Kaisers. Kaiser in German means Caesar. This is why Hitler believed this was, he thought in his era, it was the Third Reich or the third iteration of the Western Roman Empire. Now, in the Eastern Roman Empire, that continued until 1453 with the fall of Constantinople, which is depicted in the movie The Lord of the Rings by the White Shining City. The fall of Constantinople led to the royalty there, the final royalty of the Eastern Roman Empire, fleeing to Russia and intermarrying with the line of Nicholas I, becoming the Tsars, which is Russian for, wait for it, Caesar. And so today, it's important to understand this, that the dragon nations then of Arabia, rising Islam, all three of these empires ended in 1917, effectively. The Kaiser line ended in 1917 with the end of World War I, along with the Caliphate, although it wasn't officially abolished until 1923. And the Tsars were assassinated in 1917. So they all ended in 1917. And then the prediction in some of these Christian works was that there would be another rise at the end. Well, Germany, we've already seen that. Now we see it happening in Russia. And if you talk to people on the streets in Russia, and I was talking to somebody the other day about this issue, they actually refer to themselves as the Eastern Roman Empire. So this is bearing out right now. And if you don't understand history, you don't understand where Putin's coming from. When he wrote his article in 2021, he talked about it in 2005, 2013, that he was going to annex Ukraine and other countries around him, by the way. You don't understand where he's coming from. You don't understand why he would throw everything into this, not to mention the intelligence report that came out recently that he was treated for cancer in April. So we need to take our enemies at their word very seriously, and a strong United States prevents all of this stuff from happening in the first place. All right, that moves us next to the National Front. State police get warrants to seize voting machines and election records. This coming to us from Populist Press. Pay attention to this, guys. This is really important. I don't know what this is going to signal here, but pay attention to it. So, state police in Michigan have obtained warrants to seize voting equipment and election-related records in at least three towns and one county in the past 6 weeks, police records show, widening the largest known investigation into unauthorized attempts by allies of former President Trump to access voting systems. So, hear what I just said. They're trying to now go after people for election integrity. Yeah. Whew. Also, looks like the Supreme Court is going to be coming down with a decision regarding Roe versus Wade here very quickly. A ruling from the Supreme Court on the case Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization was not issued on Monday, prolonging for at least one more week the official decision in the case expected to eliminate the right to abortion. So we're looking for next week. It sounds like they're aiming for either next week or the week after. Also want to talk about, from Technocracy News, this is creepy, but you need to understand this is where things are headed. And then I'm going to talk about the Bilderberg meeting. Amazon's dystopian system for tracking workers every minute of their shifts. So this is what happens with slaves, okay? When somebody is tracking them every movement they're doing, this is what is in store in the future. Amazon punishes and sometimes fires warehouse workers who it believes are wasting time at work. A new filing obtained by Motherboard gives detailed insight into how Amazon tracks records every minute of time off task, which it calls TOT, with radio frequency handheld scanners that warehouse associates use to track customer packages. So essentially, they're tracking when workers are talking to people during their shift and not doing what they're supposed to be doing and then firing them over it. This is the kind of control these people want. They want control over every single thing we do, and this is part of the digital currency system. So once you have the money come into the system, and there's only one way in and one way out, then you can control everything, literally. That's why so many people are shifting to a barter type system, local economy, because they don't want to be a part of this stuff. Which brings us to what do we do in this time? June 11th, again, over in Coeur d'Alene, we're going to stand with all of those great parents that are coming against the perversion that is happening over there. And this is going to be a prayer vigil and also a worship vigil. We want to love on the lost and the unsaved as well. Now, the Satanic Temple apparently is going to try to show up there. I know that the law enforcement in Coeur d'Alene is going to do the right thing and keep both groups separated, as they're supposed to be. But clearly, there's some provocations that are happening from the left. Clearly, they're trying to provoke some things with some of the things that they're putting out that are shockingly offensive to a lot of Christians. But again, we don't focus on the negative. We focus on the positive. And the positive is there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of people there that are going to be standing together against this stuff in unity. And that is what the left fears the most. I also want to mention the event coming up June 18th, downtown Spokane at Riverfront Park at the Clock Tower. There's going to be a rally to celebrate the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And also we're going to celebrate not just life, but liberty and property and happiness all at one time. There's going to be a bunch of pastors down there. Again, we're going to be worshiping and praying, which is what we Christians do. That's how we fight our battles. And if you would like to join that, just contact us on Facebook and check out the flyers that are going around already. Share those with your friends and family. We look forward to seeing you all there. This is going to be a great summer. There's so much coming. It's been incredible just getting all the phone calls this last week of all the people that are going to be coming to Spokane, the events we're going to be doing. So stay tuned right here on Patriot Radio for everything coming up. And remember, we need to get organized and we need to not just pray. We need to move into action. All right, that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And remember, you can find us on Gab, MeWe, Getter, Parler. Travis is posting all day long. It's incredible. And we're also on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. You can watch us live on Facebook and YouTube, and we're going to be up on some others very quickly, so we're on the right social media, not just Facebook. All right. It's my honor once again to introduce retired Major General Paul Vallely of Stand Up America U.S. Foundation, and we're going to be talking today about some of the things that are going on in the world, and particularly with the lack of action by the administration on the southern border. General Vallely, it's always great to have you on Patriot Radio. How are you doing?
Still trying to get them.
All right. So we're going to make this happen, Travis. I don't know what the deal is there, but we're going to make it happen. I know we are. I want to talk about a couple things, and we're just going to go over a few of the documents that I was going to bring up here with our guest. But the security of our southern border, not just our southern border, but every border, is critical to our national security. Now, I know that that is common sense, but you need to understand why are they attacking our border. This isn't out of stupidity or out of laziness or something like that. This is out of a sense right now that they think they can destroy America. This comes directly from Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto written by Karl Marx. In the Communist Manifesto, it says that one of the goals of the communists is to abolish national borders. So abolishing a national border weakens a nation, weakens a people group, so it makes people easier to manipulate. This is critical to understand. In Genesis, there is something called the Table of Nations, 72 nations in Genesis. God created nations, or ethnos in the Greek. The idea is ethnicity. That's the word we get that from, that you have individual people groups who have an identity. So what the communists try to do is they try to attack identity. They try to strip identity from people. Because when people have no identity, they don't know who they are or where they've been, then they become easy to take over. They become easy to manipulate. This is an old psychological trick. Now, I found it fascinating that we're seeing this right now, that they want to continue to weaken the U.S. border at the same time as creating a food crisis, at the same time as emboldening our enemies. They think that this is the hour to try to do this. General Valley, it's great to have you on again. Blessings to you, and hope you're doing well.
Well, thank you, Matt. A little under the weather, but I'll try to hang in there a little bit.
All right. Well, I want to just dive right in here. I was just talking about the southern border. Very clearly, the administration is doing everything wrong there to secure our border. But if we don't have secure borders, that really is not just an identity issue for this country, but it's also a national security issue. So could you please talk a little bit about what's happening down there at the border?
Well, I just finished a update on our border plan article called Border Security is National or Equals National Security. And we've been challenging the Defense Department to give us their threat analysis of our southern border and the cartels and give us an op plan for neutralizing and taking the cartels out of business. The cartels are continuing to push. They're continuing to support the mass migration into the southern border, across the southern border, into our cities. The cartels are working on our side of the border. They're a militarized force. They have plenty of money. They're also responsible for the fentanyl, working with the Chinese, running those drugs across our border into all of our cities. We have had more youth killed by fentanyl in the last year than we had in 20 years in the Middle East. I mean, it's out of control, but it's by design, Matt. It's all by design. It's not just that Biden's a doofus or a dunce and doesn't know what he's doing, or Mayorkas, who's a total dunce. They're doing it intentionally. They don't want any borders. They're part of this global elitist, no national borders, cross borders. And that's what we're seeing.
So what is Mexico's government doing about this? Or are they actually tied directly with the cartels in many respects? I think that's kind of what most Americans believe. And then how does China play into all this as well?
Well, China manufactures a lot of the product that's coming over, particularly many of the opiates and the fentanyl. And they have, of course, the meth labs in Mexico. We know that many, for decades now, of the political framework, the senior politicians of Mexico have been on the payroll of the cartels. If they cross the cartels, they won't be around tomorrow. Cartels will make sure that they're assassinated. And the cartels have control of many of the police forces. What they don't have control of is the Mexican Marines, and that's part of our plan, the Mexican Marines and Special Ops, is to work together on a clandestine covert operation with our Delta Force Special Operations. And General Boykin and I, if he and I were in charge, we could take the cartels down in 7 days. We know where they're at. We know the locations, their ranches, their factories, the routes they do. So we could do a laydown of intel for about 3 weeks. We would know where everything's moving or going. And with a covert operation, we can neutralize the cartels. And that's what needs to be done. Now, I've had some feedback, Matt, even from some senior officers who said, well, that's a cross-border operation. That's illegal. I said, well, what do you think Vietnam was? What do you think Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan? Cross-border operations against a threat, supposedly, right? So, right. I mean, it's just foolish.
Well, I agree with you 100%. We have to mitigate this threat. And it's interesting to me that they're actually getting a lot more aggressive, that they're actively taunting our border patrol. I've talked with some folks that have been down there on the southern border. They're actively recruiting people on the Mexican side. They're getting them very well equipped and then coming up there and aggressively taunting our forces on the other side of the border. And they're clearly provocative. They think the administration is weak and impotent, and I really probably can't disagree with them on that the administration in D.C. right now is weak and impotent for the southern border.
No, it's very weak. They see that, of course, take advantage of it because it's money to them, billions of dollars in their pockets to do what they want to do. and to control the migration, to pay the mules coming up. I mean, it's such a serious thing, and that's why I'm distressed, Matt, that our senior generals and admirals haven't put a plan together to do what I've just said, a covert operation to neutralize and take the cartels out of business. Now, it's even affecting the Canadian border. Vancouver, British Columbia is almost as bad now than many of the cities in the United States as far as wow. illegal drugs, prostitution, sex trafficking. And now Trudeau, he wants to, of course, take all the weapons away from the Canadians. He's going to outlaw all handguns. You can't buy them anymore. So the Canadian gun stores are selling out all their guns as fast as they can. But it's really serious north of our border as well. We have to understand that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just focus on the southern border, but you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of Chinese intelligence infiltration in cities like Vancouver that have been occurring over the last 20 years very actively. And we don't even talk about that part of it. How do we rally governors to do this? I know there's Republican governors that have a 10-point plan for ending the border crisis. How do we actually make this happen under the current climate with the pretender in charge there in D.C.?
Well, I've talked, set my plan to Governor Abbott on a constitutional initiative of implementing more drastically the 10th Amendment, invoking the 10th Amendment. So if we had at least 24 governors or however many we can get of what they call the free states now, not just the red states, but the free states, Montana being one, and Texas, for example, that the governors can be doing a lot more under the 10th Amendment. And the governor should be rejecting a lot of these illegal mandates coming down from the federal government on energy, for example. Texas ought to be drilling and going after as much energy as they can and sell it. Because it's illegal what the federal government's doing by closing us down and affecting the lives of the American people. I mean, we have more oil here in Montana that we could drill. Look at what Alaska's been shut down, basically. This is illegal activities of the federal government, an overreaching federal government under the 10th Amendment.
Well, there's no question, and it seems, again, like you said at the beginning, this is clearly intentional to weaken this country. We have more than enough energy reserves. We are energy independent, at least we were before the pretender took charge. Under Trump, we're energy independent. Why can we not be again? I mean, we have all of these things happening in the world. The best thing to do is to become more self-sufficient, not less.
Well, Obama's running Biden. Biden is the puppet in all of this. Obama's getting his orders from the American oligarchs, Gates, Bezos. They're part of the global elitist under Klaus Schwab. They just had their big get-together in Davos, Switzerland, 2 weeks ago, and they're basically planning a one-world government. But people in America just have trouble connecting the dots, Matt, of what's going on. And until you connect the dots like we do at the Stand Up America Foundation, you don't get it. You understand what's going on. Why do we have this crisis week after week? There's always a crisis.
Right. Right. There always is a crisis. It looks like Israel and Iran are going to mix it up here very shortly, again, because of weak U.S. leadership. And it looks like China is actively planning to do something here in the very near future. What's your take on that?
Well, China is planning to take Taiwan. There's no doubt about that. It's just a matter of when. They know they're Biden, Hunter Biden, many of in government. excuse me. I'm getting a little drink of water here. I'll be okay.
Yep, no problem. So it just seems like the timeline for China and Taiwan, I've been trying to analyze all of the different upticks in activity. And it seems like they're shooting for October, September timeframe for some sort of action. It may not happen, but it seems like it would happen before the election.
That seems to be the time frame.
So what can we expect as far as the administration is concerned regarding Iran and Israel mixing it up here over the next couple months? Because Israel just did the largest exercise in its military history off Cyprus, and it seems like they are really ramping up at least the clandestine operations against Iran, with the death now of two high-ranking Iranian officials in the last 3 weeks, and then also this suicide drone attack on the Parchin nuclear facility there.
Well, Israel is watching everything that goes on in Syria and Iran each and every day, 24 hours a day. Mossad, they're active inside Iran. And so the intelligence that they're working off of is very accurate. But Iran knows if they try to pull anything, Israel will hit them very hard without mercy.
It's very interesting. The Iranians just implemented this wheat rationing. It seems like they are preparing actively for a war right now. And,
well, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, they prepare every day of the month for war, whether it's the PLO, Hezbollah. Israelis are always ready. And, of course, they've got some of the greatest air pilots, aviators in the world. So they're very well-trained tank forces. They've got probably the best drones in the world right now. They're there. They're ready to go. But, of course, they depend a lot on the U.S. support as well.
They do. I want to shift gears a little bit to West Point and the declaration of West Point. It's a declaration of betrayal of West Point in the Long Gray Line. And this was just published here recently, May 24th. You know, it's very clear for people like you and I to see that they're trying to subvert the key institutions that make this nation great, West Point being one of them. Tell the listeners a little bit about what's happening there and why it's so egregious and so important for people to understand.
Well, we found out over the last couple of decades, and particularly since Obama, and the introduction of what we call the woke generals and admirals. We've seen that in General Milley, General Gordon Austin, Secretary of Defense, and the pushing of the CRT, critical race theory, and ideological training, indoctrination at the academies, not just teaching, but indoctrination in left-wing ideologies. And with that, they have the mandatory vaccines and boosters, and many of the cadets who are very healthy. And this is happening not only at West Point, but at Annapolis and the Air Force Academy. And we have what we call the concerned graduates of West Point that see the diminishing and the dismantling of the honor system there. A cadet does not lie, cheat, or steal, but yet they have. And when I was there, if you were caught lying, cheating, or stealing, you were out. But now they have to have what they call due process in a lawyer, I guess, to represent them. And the general up there has just been nominated for 4 stars to take over U.S. Army Europe. And many of the graduates concerned, many general officers, General McInerney and I, and a Colonel Andy O'Meara are heading up the fight against what's happening at West Point. But it's a betrayal of a great institution. It's the betrayal of the Long Gray Line, patented. MacArthur, Bradley, they'd be turning over in their graves as to what's happening to the hallowed halls of West Point. Lieutenant General Rod Bishop's heading up the efforts at the Air Force Academy. He told me they're looking at 354 pilots that will be leaving the Air Force. Many of those are C-17 pilots, and, of course, the C-17 is the long hauler for goods and troops and so on. 354 pilots. And so there's suits against the academies now on the mandatory vaccines. But even at West Point, we found out the food is so terrible now. The cadets have to order food out from the local town there called Island Falls. And they estimated Island Falls last year made $6 million just off of the cadets ordering extra food like pizza and whatever they order. Wow. And so you have that occurring. And they don't bring any conservative speakers to West Point. We can't identify one. They're all left-wing liberal ideologues. And so this is a total breakdown of a wonderful institution, and that's why we call it the betrayal of West Point.
Well, clearly, in light of everything that we're talking about today, the southern border, China, Iran, I'm very concerned, as I know you are, about the readiness of the United States military. This obviously is not the right direction. What do we do?
It's going to take a complete replacement of our government. And I wish we had the way to replace our government tomorrow, put new leadership in it, the executive branches. And as Victor David Hansen called the dunces, the cabinet members. But we need new generals, new admirals that are going to defend us. They're going to make sure that we go back to the duty, honor, country code of West Point and the academies and of the officer corps. And if we can't train officers to defend America, what do we have? So they're trying to break down the best and most historic savior of America, which is our military and our academies.
Well, in the last few minutes that we have left, I mean, if China drags the United States into a war, or the Biden administration allows us to be dragged into a war with China or Russia, are we even ready to fight like we were back in the 1980s and 90s?
Emphatically, no. Emphatically, no. The fleets aren't up to where they should be. I just mentioned the hollowness within the Air Force now and the air crews. I look at the morale. The troops are not stupid, as you know, Matt. They understand what's going on, and they know when they have to witness this social engineering and the CRT training, diversity training versus training how to shoot and parachute out of an airplane or fly a helicopter or whatever. So it's affecting the entire force.
Well, that just brings up the importance, I guess, of, well, not I guess, I know, of this election coming up here this fall, but also the election coming up in 2024. I mean, are we actually going to get there, or do you think they're going to allow a war to happen ahead of time and then we have to pick the pieces up? Because it's always good Americans that rise, strong Americans that rise, patriotic Americans that arise during these times of crisis to pick up after failed politicians.
Well, we know the options out there to create a crisis for the November elections, which would be the martial law or to forego the elections until a later time. So that could possibly happen.
Yeah. This is... I know this has opened the eyes of many, many people across the United States and obviously in Montana and Idaho and Washington. What's your message today for everybody listening? How should they get involved? What should they be spending their time doing right now?
Well, support the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation. We're doing a lot of great things at standupamericaus.org. Put the U.S. in there, standupamericaus.org, and support your local counties. We've got to do this at the lowest level and make sure that we're ethical. We have honesty and integrity in the election system. But stand up your neighbors, connect the dots for them as to what's going on, because many Americans can't connect the dots. They don't believe what's happening. They think maybe, well, it's all a conspiracy, but it's not.
No, it's not. And it's going to take all of us standing together. And that's the key point, standing together right now so that this country continues for the next generation. In the last 2 minutes, General Valley, if you could give out the website again, but also just a word of encouragement to many Americans. This isn't the first time America has been facing crises and in crises that seems insurmountable, and it probably won't be the last. But if you could, give a word of encouragement to everybody out there.
Well, I would say hope is not a strategy, though we have to have hope. But we have to have a strategy to restore America, and we've got to stand tall. And we're going to say we're not going to take it anymore from the overreach of the federal government. We can't even trust our FBI anymore or intelligence services. But 2022 will be the awakening year for America. We have to awaken up. And we've got to get back to the spiritual awakening of America. That's absolutely critical in our families, church, God. We've got to pull that all together again. That's where we'll build the inner strength of America.
Amen. Major General Paul Vallely, retired. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today, as always. We're praying for you. Get better, and we look to forward to having you on again soon.
Thank you, Matt. Sorry about the cold.
Oh, no problem. StandUpAmericaUS.org. Yep. StandUpAmericaUS.org. Check it out. Again, General Vallely, thank you, and keep up the fight. All right. I want to end the show today by reminding everybody of the events that are coming up here again. Coeur d'Alene, June 11th, this Saturday, 10 o'clock. We're going to be standing in prayer and vigilance and worship against the perversion, against the communists, against the Satanists. Yes, you heard that right. That's who's planning on showing up down there, the communists and the Satanists. And that's when patriotic Americans stand up. It's in our backyard, folks. And I'm asking everyone that is listening to this show today, please show up in Coeur d'Alene. I don't care if you live in Washington or Montana. Show up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Stand for righteousness and the truth. And let's stand with these fearless moms who want to root out this perversion in our libraries where they're trying to corrupt our children. We just saw that on the news down in Dallas, Texas, they intentionally were engaging in some of the most horrendous and filthy conduct down there as part of a drag queen show with children involved. Just incredible. This is not America. And this is obviously, it doesn't matter if you are a Democrat or Republican, do you really believe children should be involved in that kind of stuff? You believe it should be in our libraries? Graphic pornography? You believe that critical race theory is actually something good for this country? We have to stand and say, look, you're teaching things that are against the very foundations of the country. And it's interesting in the scripture, it talks about the in Timothy, about opposing arguments. Now, we miss this if we don't know the Greek. The word that's used there is antithesis or antithesis. Now, opposing arguments, antithesis, that's what we're supposed to stay away from. We're not supposed to engage in that. Did you know that that's actually at the root of communism? It's called the Hegelian dialectic, Hegel and Marx. He had a thesis and an antithesis, and the antithesis was always an attempt to compromise and corrupt what the truth was, the truth being the thesis. In other words, the truth is that he made them man and woman, and the antithesis would try to corrupt that and say that there are, Travis, I don't even know what they're up to now. It's like 75, give or take, a dozen genders, whatever. It doesn't even make sense. Biologically, 99.99% of the cases, the presence or absence of a Y chromosome determines gender, period. That's biological fact. Truth is written into creation, and the existence of truth proves the existence of God. Math is truth, proves the existence of God. It's a language, actually, if you think about it that way. But my point here being that these people want to undo reality, and even the scripture talks about stay away from communism, stay away from the antithesis, stay away from those arguments that are trying to corrupt, compromise. And that's what all of this is about with critical race theory. This is what it's all about with the pro-aborts and the pro-death lobby. It's what it's about with all these people trying to justify the perversion of children coming into our homes through the internet or coming into the libraries. By the way, all with taxpayer money. It's a religion. They're just funding it with our money. And enough is enough. And if the Coeur d'Alene City Council won't stand up, if the library districts won't stand up, if the state representatives won't stand up, if the county commissioners won't stand up, then you should elect new ones. And I'm not saying that they're not. I'm just saying that's the way we need to look at these things. These are core values. These are core to us as a country and as a community. Now, you know, most of you anyway, now, if you're listening to Patriot Radio, the lies the left has put out, all of them been disproven now. You know that they lie intentionally. They double down on their lies. And this weekend, again, is the opportunity to stand up and say, no more. We're going to say the truth. Now, we love people. It doesn't mean we have to justify, agree with, countenance, support, or enable their behavior. That's the critical distinction between Christians who are active and Christians who are not. Christians who believe the scripture means what it says and Christians who do not. And then I want to also remind you about June 18th. We're going to celebrate the overturning of Roe versus Wade, Riverfront Park. Got a lot of pastors coming down, 10 o'clock. It's on Saturday, 10 o'clock. Invite your entire church. Come down with us. Let's celebrate. We need to celebrate these things and enjoy, because God does give us victory. Just like he gave us victory against Antifa several years ago now, he is going to give us victory in these things. And we need to celebrate these victories. Life wins. And that's what I want to start calling these events. Life wins. Because life does win. Because truth wins. Because Jesus is already victorious. And it was finished on the cross. And we walk in that victory every day. But the key is we need to walk. We can't be sitting on the sidelines waiting. We need to walk now and stand now for our country. And as war looms on the horizon, be prepared, be in the Word, be pressed into the Lord, and everything else will fade away. And we will indeed experience victory with our waking eyes. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me today on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you. And may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.